to thank you so much, David, for being with us. David Sirota, founder and editor-in-chief of The Lever, speaking to us from Denver, Colorado, co-author of Master Plan, The Hidden Plot to Legalize Corruption in America. That does it for our show. Democracy Now! Is produced with Mike Burke, Renee Feltz, Dina Guzder, Messiah Rhodes, Nermeen Sheikh, Maria Tarasena, Nicole Salazar, Sarah Nasser, Trina Nadura, Sam Alkoff, K. Marie A. Studio, John Hamilton, Rabbi Karen, Hani Massoud. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. Thanks for joining us.
Latino New Yorkers were 8 times more likely to be arrested for cannabis than white New Yorkers over the past 30 years. Black New Yorkers, 15 times more likely. White, black, or brown, data shows we all use cannabis at the same rate. Now New York has changed course and legalized cannabis for adults 21 and over. We are building an equitable industry that invests in communities. Learn more and visit cannabis.ny.gov.
And you're listening to radio station WUSB in Stony Brook, broadcasting at 90.1 FM. 107.3 FM and over the internet at WUSB.FM. It's exactly 6 o'clock on a Tuesday night, and that means it's time for another edition of Off the Wall. Oh, yeah, you know, sometimes I just sit around and I play that just to feel a little bit better. You know, when something bad happens, and something bad is happening a lot, just playing our intro can sometimes just give me the strength to do what needs to be done. I don't know what that even means. This is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday evening, joined by Kyle.
Hi, Emmanuel.
How are you?
I'm okay.
Yeah. We've had a rough week. We've lost a good friend of ours. We talked about it on the other show. our friend Greg, who we went up to Whitehorse to visit, outstanding person, honored to have known him, and just pissed off as hell that these horrible diseases keep striking people down. But we're here now, and I don't know, I'm bouncing back and forth from feeling extreme sadness to gratefulness that I was able to be a part of a lot of things. and determination, I guess. And we have a lot to be determined about, a lot going on. You know, I love this time of year. There's something about autumn that just inspires me to do more. You know, you see the leaves falling. I guess some people in other parts of the country, they don't get this. Sometimes you don't get seasons in other parts. If you're in the desert, it's always going to be the desert, Florida, well, you know. But here, it's, you know, leaves everywhere, and the temperature plummets. It's inspiring. It really is kind of cool.
Yeah, there's a lot of movement and vibrance and transformation. And
yeah.
It has that energy as you move into the darker months.
Yeah, election day's coming up. You know, that's kind of exciting. It's not always exciting, but this year I think it is.
I'm hearing some things.
Yeah, I'm hearing some things, too. Maybe they'll get rid of the Nassau County executive there. You know, that'd be nice. Try a little non-racist ruling for a change. We have some county legislator races here in Suffolk County. We've got all kinds of things going. Well, of course, we've got the New York City mayoral race, and boy, that's getting a lot of attention. Wow, this Zoran Mamdani guy, yeah, he's going to be a topic of conversation at this year's Thanksgiving for sure. I just love how people in the establishment, and this goes for both Democrats and Republicans, how they are freaking out over this. They are panicking. Now, who's panicking more? That's a good question. The Republicans are definitely panicking, but now they're trying to make it seem like it's good because they say, okay, Democrats, if you elect Zoran Mamdani, every Democrat is going to be associated with him, and we will call all of you communists. Well, first of all, they're doing that already. And it's ridiculous, too. This is almost more absurd than the 1950s at this point, where no matter what you do, you know, you hold a door for somebody and you're a communist because, wow, you know, you don't want people to fend for themselves. I don't know what the mentality is. These are people who have never met an actual communist or a socialist or maybe even a liberal. And they just assume anybody that doesn't vote their party line is the enemy. That sounds like something else to me. That sounds like something really nefarious. And, you know, I thought we had learned in the past that that's, you know, differences are good. Argument is good. And elections also good. And all of that is in doubt these days. So, yeah, so everybody is freaking out over Mamdani. Democrats are freaking out too because they're kind of believing what the Republicans are telling them. And, you know, this is the mistake they always make. Instead of forging their own way and, you know, making their rules, not living by Republican rewritten rules as they are constantly doing, they are cowardly. And, you know, I gotta say, Kathy Hochul, she showed some courage by actually endorsing Mamdani. It took Hakeem Jeffries forever to get around to it. That guy, you know, I thought he had a spine at first. I don't think he does anymore. And Chuck Schumer, forget it. he I don't think he's even said the guy's name correctly once yet. So, yeah, don't look for an endorsement from him. Don't look for an endorsement to matter from him anyway. It doesn't really, yeah, it doesn't mean that much. So you have this guy, and he won by double digits in the primary against a whole bunch of other people, including Andrew Cuomo. Andrew Cuomo cannot let go of this. He really can't. And, you know, I think he lost the race for sure last week when he was on the radio. I don't know what show it was, but the guy hosting it was an idiot. It doesn't narrow it down, I know. But he basically made this this really horrible joke about Mamdani, saying that, can you imagine if he were mayor and another 9/11 happened? You know, first of all, what is that supposed to mean? And he quickly followed up and explained it by saying, yeah, he would be cheering it on. And that's disgusting to imply, what, because he's Muslim? Because he's left of center? What exactly is your point? And why is a Democratic or formerly Democratic party-affiliated candidate on your show tolerating such nonsense, such horror? It was just disgusting to hear. And I didn't hear the show firsthand. I heard about it. I listened to it afterwards. But I said to myself, well, you know, okay, in fairness, that wasn't Cuomo saying that. That was the host of the show saying that. All right, so, you know, maybe he should have said more against that. And it turns out he did say something. He did say something. After the host said that Mondale would probably be cheering on the next 9/11, Cuomo stood up and said, yeah, that'll be a problem too. Now, he didn't say, shut your stupid mouth, you idiot. How dare you say something like that about, you know, an American citizen, somebody who has shown his fortitude and has a lot of integrity, but I disagree with him and I'm running against him. Something like that. He would have actually gained a lot of points. He would have gained points in my book. Instead, he doubled down and said, yeah, look at the Muslim. He's going to cheer on the next 9/11. Well, screw you, Cuomo. You know, I defended you a lot in the past, and I'm willing to give you credit for the things that you have done. And there were some decent infrastructure accomplishments during your reign as governor. The way COVID was handled was much better than many places in this country, for sure. And I don't think that's a fair point to criticize on. But this, no, this is too much. Well, actually, what made you resign is too much. But this, in addition to that, shows that you're willing to stoop that low just to win an election, which you lost. You lost the election in June. Was that when the primary was? Back in the spring. And you lost decisively. So, you know what? Let's unite, you know, and see how this new guy does. Guaranteed, people aren't going to be happy because he's not going to be able to do everything he promised because he doesn't have the power to do everything he promised. Here's the thing, you know, you watch the debates and you see how they try to take credit for certain things. And Cuomo is touting all these accomplishments, and rightfully so. The Second Avenue Subway, the new Kosciuszko Bridge, the new Dad Bridge, you know, he named it after his dad, which is fine, you can do that. Grand Central Madison, these are big accomplishments. But, Andrew, correct me if I'm wrong, you're running for mayor. So are you saying that who was in charge when all these things happened? De Blasio? So that's something De Blasio can say, I got that done. Is that what you're saying? You're saying De Blasio gets credit for that? Because you're running for mayor, and you're saying you're going to do all these amazing things, but it's the governor that does that. Not the mayor. So, you know, whenever Cuomo says to Mondani in this patronizing way, you don't understand how government works. You don't have experience. I wonder, do you know how it works? Because you're confusing what the mayor accomplishes with what the governor accomplishes. And it's confusing an awful lot of people, I think. Listen. He may do a good job. He may wind up caving, you know, like Hakeem Jeffries did and just having no spine. I don't think so, though. I'm looking at this guy, and he's showing something. He's showing some backbone. He's showing an ability to get in there, a willingness to get in there and fight. And more than anything, he shows a way of connecting with people. There are these videos out on his channel on YouTube, which are really fun to watch. There's one where he takes a cab ride to the Bronx and has, I think, Indian food or some kind of food with a bunch of people. And, you know, a political video like that you'd expect to be, you know, stilted and awkward. It felt so natural, even in the cab where he's talking about various actions he's taken in the past, where he does show he had experience. He participated in a hunger strike and protest, even got arrested. You know, this is the kind of thing we should see in a mayor: passion, ability to sacrifice to accomplish a greater goal for other people. This is not talked about in the debates ever, and certainly Cuomo has no intention of bringing that up. But it's something that I think adds a lot of integrity to the position. So in the 1 week left, it's a week from tonight. Expect to see all kinds of dirt being dug up and thrown. I don't see Mondani doing that as much. I do have a problem with him bringing up the nursing home thing, because again, I think that's a Trump talking point. I really think that's an ultra right wing talking point, where Cuomo sent these people to their deaths in the nursing homes. Well, the exact same thing happened in Florida, and nobody is criticizing DeSantis. So tell me what that's about. You know, I know when we were living through COVID, yeah, nobody really knew what was going on. And it's easy to say that now. It's easy to say that we got it wrong. But we could have gotten it even more wrong, as other places in the world did. And I think for the most part, we did as well as we could have with the knowledge we had. And even Trump did all right, but he doesn't seem to want to admit that. Fine, you know, he doesn't have to get any credit if he doesn't want any credit. But other than that, you know, I also Curtis Sliwa occasionally says something stupid, but that guy has more integrity than Cuomo, I think. I really do. And the fact that he is refusing to drop out of the race to let Cuomo win. Think about that. Republicans are demanding that Curtis Sliwa, the Republican candidate, drop out of the race so that Andrew Cuomo can win. That should tell you everything you need to know as far as who's in bed with whom. So, yeah, the guy that all the political mainstreamers don't want, I think that's the best guy for the position. What do you think, Kyle?
Why do I have to have a take on this?
I didn't mean to broadside you with that. Just
I think definitely looking at what's going on within the party instead of focusing on the opposite sides. And these races are interesting in that it's feisty. The language is kind of disappointing, to put it lightly. It's harsh, the kind of stuff that's being said back and forth. And, we'll see. I guess it's whatever the city ultimately wants. But, I am fascinated by the different entities. Sliwa is interesting, too, and he's definitely running a sincere campaign.
He shoots from the hip. Yeah, I mentioned before, I talked to him once many years ago on this radio station when I was in college. And he was just a very accessible person and always, you know, spoke his mind. And I respect that. Even if I don't agree with the mind, I respect the honesty of that. And like I said, he does say stupid things occasionally, you know, like the global jihad thing he accused Mondani of supporting instead of global intifada, two different things. But, you know, I don't expect people to get all the nuance. I really don't. And I'm glad he's sticking in the race. I really am. He should.
Yeah, people have to, like, see what's going on within their party if you want to make it better, see what kind of things people are trying, what's working on some of these more local and regional levels, so you can maybe get a sense of what will work in other races that are you know, pivotal in the national and other sorts of races.
Yeah. You know, the mainstream media, excuse me, and that includes the New York Times, has been, I don't know, trying to, throw shade at this particular race, make it seem like all is not well. For instance, there was a story, at Mondani rally, a moment of unity goes sideways for Hochul. Oh, no. What could have happened? I mean, is this even really a story? Okay, I'm gonna read a little bit of it for you. Our toner is running out, so I can't read all of it, but I'll try. It was meant to be. I know it's not your job, but I'm just running it out.
What the heck?
This is what I have to deal with.
Don't make me. That's a totally different conversation.
I need a microscope.
I think that's what Cuomo said.
It was meant to be a
whole other issue.
A friendly appearance, a chance for Governor Kathy Hochul to speak to a stadium in that Forest Hills, by the way, filled with progressive-minded New Yorkers who had come out to rally for Zoran Mondani in the final days of his mayoral campaign.
That's right. He's got some a lot of people endorsing and support. You know, people are coming out and getting the final home stretch. You
took away the drama of the next line.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It did not go particularly well.
Wait, I thought it went fine. Were there, like, there were other people there? And it was...
I didn't get to the story yet. No, yeah, the other people were there, stadium,
okay,
the Forest Hills.
I'm obviously all right. Slowing you
it
down.
It did not
There's
go
so
particularly
much...
well. Ms. Hochul mispronounced Mr. Mondani's name not once but four times. Okay, you know what? When you're debating the guy, you should get his name right, as Mondani himself has said. For the rest of us, yeah, you know, we're going to stumble. And I think, you know, he gets that. I think a lot of people get that. People had trouble with Obama's name at first. That's a lot simpler, but, you know, it's to be expected. The question is it done out of malice, disrespect? You know, when people mispronounce Kamala Harris's name intentionally, that's disrespect. Absolutely. Or when people, you know, emphasize things like, you know, Barack Hussein Obama, you know, that's disrespect, right? All right. So by the time the governor built to what should have been the climax of her speech, a commitment to universal child care, one of Mondani's most ambitious priorities, the crowd at Forest Hill Stadium in Queens had become downright rowdy. Tax the rich, they cried, drowning out the governor. Tax the rich. Okay, you know, so what? People are chanting. Some people are chanting. Not everybody's chanting. Some people are chanting something. This reporter happened to notice it. Hochul smiled and waved. Well, this crowd is fired up, she chuckled. 5 seconds went by, then 10, as the chanting continued. All right, I can hear you. This sounds like a political rally to me. It sounds like lots and lots of rallies. They don't always chant exactly what you expect them to chant, and sometimes it's not something you agree with completely. But it sounds like excitement to me. It sounds like, you know, everybody is wanting the same thing. Maybe not taxing the rich, although, you know, I think everybody speaks to that to some degree. But to portray this as something going wrong, I don't know about that.
And you try to hold a crowd in a stadium like that. I mean, it takes some skill and to direct the attention and,
yeah,
I don't know.
Well, and here's where the reporter kind of goes off the rails a little bit. Facing a contested primary and general election, Ms. Hochul would relish the type of adulation and excitement that Mr. Mondani has generated. But the governor, a Democrat from Western New York, is a centrist, a political stance that does not resonate with the ascendant left in New York City, which forms Mr. Mondani's political base. Okay, we know all this. There are different versions of Democrats. But here, these versions are uniting for one thing. That's the story. Not that, wow, they're different, so there's going to be trouble. No, that's the story they're trying to get away from. And by uniting like this, that's a step doing that, which was totally missed here. They go into the history about what Hochul has done that Mondani doesn't like, what Mondani did that Hochul doesn't like. Okay, but that's not happening there. She's not chiding him for his stances on anything. They're uniting in a stadium with a bunch of cheering people. That's the damn story.
Yeah, what matters is the support, having the support broadly felt and showing that if you're in a position and you truly want to get behind somebody, then that's the message. And you'd much rather, and it speaks to voters that would maybe be on the fence or like just kind of not considering that candidate. Does it matter that they can fully pronounce every detail in the candidate's name? I mean, that's a very, you'd rather have the support in the ballot than like a slip like that. If the candidate is new to them and they don't really have a lot of familiarity with them early on in their, you know, maybe switching in the last week or whatever, the final parts of the campaign.
Well, I'd like to read the last part of this story, the New York Times story, because it seems to have turned around a bit. You know, maybe the story gets back onto the rails. In her endorsement of Mr. Mondani, Ms. Hochul highlighted areas on which the two were aligned, like affordability and child care, while stressing the importance of democratic unity as the party combats the Trump administration. She kept to that message at the rally on Sunday. "I love to see this energy and this passion," she told the crowd when the chanting had died down. Then she made a request. "We have to take that energy, that passion, and take it into 26 so that we can take back the House of Representatives, take the Senate, and take back our country. With your help, we will elect Zoran. We take back America." Mr. Mamdani then walked on stage wearing his signature smile. He pulled Ms. Hochul into a hug, then grabbed her hand and raised it high in a gesture of victory. The crowd went wild. That's how the story ends, and that's what the story is. I don't know why they have to, like, try and make it like all is not well. All's never not well. I mean, all's always not well. I don't know what I mean. Point is, you know, you don't need to attract us to read the story by injecting those particular elements. But other stories out there are a bit more disturbing. Like this one from the Hindustan Times. Is that a real paper, the Hindustan Times?
I always thought it was a little clickbait.
Well, first of all, okay, Google News is always pushing this quote-unquote paper or website or whatever it is. I don't understand why the Hindustan Times has so many American stories. But this one I had to read because the headline was Zoran Mamdani Deportation. Could New York City mayoral candidate lose citizenship? What U.S. immigration law says? Explained. House Republicans have made a push to strip New York City mayoral candidate Zoran Mamdani of his citizenship and possibly deport him from the U.S. This is real. It sounds like clickbait. It is clickbait, I guess. But they are publicly saying things like this. Now, that report came as early voting for the mayoral race began. The demand from the GOP lawmakers was loudly echoed on social media platform X, formerly Twitter, with many joining in the demands to have Mamdani deported. Of course, if you look at Twitter for your comments, you're going to be very shocked, disappointed, outraged. I don't recommend it. Notably, the 34-year-old's Muslim identity has come under fire in recent times, with Andrew Cuomo leveling a racist jab. Even Vice President J.D. Vance didn't hold back. Yeah, did you see what that idiot did? Oh, my God. When Mamdani described the situation for his auntie, a Muslim, in the city after 9/11, she had a difficult time as a Muslim in New York City. My aunt stopped taking the subway after 9/11 because she did not feel safe in her hijab. So what J.D. Vance and other racist friends said was, yeah, she was the real victim of 9/11. Something he was not saying in any sense, but go ahead, mock his auntie and say that the fact that she is subject to racist taunts and has to live in fear through hatred and ignorance, that's not an issue, or that's somehow trying to eclipse the bigger issue. It's disgusting. It's so childish, and I insult children when I say that. It's just. It's just horrible. It really is. It's embarrassing. Anyway.
Unkind.
They're using that kind of hatred to push their agenda more of somehow deporting this guy. Randy Fine, representative from Florida, has demanded feds review every naturalization of the past 30 years, starting with Mamdani. Yeah, he said, "I just think we need to take a hard look at these folks, how these folks become citizens, and if there is any kind of fraud or any violation of the rules, we need to denaturalize and deport." He continued, "I know that there's a lot of us that are very, very concerned about the enemy within." And that's a phrase Trump has been using. Don't think that's a mistake. People who have come to this country to become citizens, to destroy it. If they're not Americans, they can't be in office. Representative Andy Ogles of Tennessee has been pushing the Department of Justice to probe Mamdani since June. He claimed that the socialists lied in the sworn statement when he became a naturalized citizen in 2018. In 2018, when he was naturalized, he failed to disclose some of the things that he had been doing, one of which was joining, the quote here is, one of which was joining the Socialist of America. The word he left out was Democratic. They're known as the Democratic Socialists. That's a communist organization, which, quite frankly, at that time, would have disqualified him from becoming a United States citizen. He told that to the fine journalists at Newsmax. Yeah. As per U.S. immigration law, those who have been a member of or affiliated with the Communist or any other totalitarian party are inadmissible. Except that's not what the Democratic Socialists are. Not at all. According to the current would-be citizens, according to the current form, would-be citizens have to disclose if they have ever in any way been associated with any communist or totalitarian party anywhere in the world. Notably, Mamdani has specifically denied being a communist because he isn't one. The Justice Department has not ruled out a probe of the mayoral candidate either. You know, I know a number of communists, and they're regular people. You'd be surprised who they are. And it's a philosophy. It's a viewpoint. It's an opinion. What the forum is referring to are people who are involved in particular parties in countries where communism is actually in place. And I guess that's seen with extra suspicion. I don't know if the government is afraid that their ideas will catch on, or I don't know. It seems silly. It always seems silly that because you're communist, you can't enter the country or become a citizen. It's a moot point because that's not what's happening here.
No, it's definitely kind of tragic to start wanting to have like a litmus test for people's participation in our form of governments based on religious affiliation. I mean, that's not it's not how we work here,
mm-hmm.
And you wouldn't want that same kind of test. Basically yourself, you know, and put the people you care about. And mm-hmm. Yeah.
The thing that bugs me about this story, they keep quoting people on Twitter or X. Look, one person on X remarked, "Deport him already. Zohar Mamdani, he faked his citizenship and pushing his religious beliefs by force and hatred to law enforcement." Another added, "Denaturalize and deport Mamdani. We are finished with his lies. He has exposed himself. Vote Republican. Vote Curtis Sliwa, mayor of New York City." And others said, "Denaturalize and deport Zohar Mamdani," sharing an image likely hinting at his communist sympathies. Okay, none of these are worthy of being quoted. You don't even know if these are humans saying this. There's no individual attached to these statements. Could be the same person over and over again. It used to be that, you know, being able... You know, these people who say these things are so bent out of shape over somebody from a different country coming here, yet they can't speak the language themselves. They can't put together a sentence. They can't speak in a literate fashion. That used to be disqualifying when being quoted in a newspaper. So Hindustan Times, do better, whatever you are. If Mamdani does lose, see, I said it wrong there, too. Sometimes I get it wrong. I said Mamdani. Mamdani. We can all practice together.
Mamdani.
You know, second graders are practicing this now. We can do it too. If Mamdani does lose his citizenship, then he could be deported through the process of denaturalization, which many have called for online. Again, you're building this up into something that it's not. The recent outrage against Mamdani stems from an image he shared alongside Imam Siraj Wahaj, who was named an unindicted co-conspirator to the 1993 World Trade Center bombing. That claimed 6 lives. That was the small one. Not to them, obviously. But first of all, you know, that's a story that is somehow just coming out now. I guess this guy might have posed with him or something. I don't expect a candidate to know who he's standing to all the time. And I've also heard, again, you know, I don't have it in front of me, but feel free to look this up, that this guy was named as a witness and testified on behalf of the government. In other words, he was on the other side completely. So don't expect what comes out a couple of days before the election to be accurate, especially when it's fueled by this kind of passion and hatred. Check all the sources carefully and don't look for Twitter to provide any facts whatsoever. Look for actual journalists who are professionals and do their job and are thorough. Look for that.
So I don't think... We don't know that Hindustan Times isn't a psychological operation of some sort. Well, at least the comment section.
It's a weird name, Hindustan Times. I mean,
maybe the comments are operations of sorts. They seem automated or decipherable.
Yeah, well, you know, they certainly are a lot more literate than many of the things I'm reading these days in Google News. It's just it's awful. All right, so let's move on to Trump. He's overseas, you know. He's far away. That sense of freedom that we feel, that's because he's nowhere near us.
The crisp, fresh air.
And he'll be meeting with Xi, I think, late tonight, tomorrow over there. So we'll see what he gives away to China. I'm sure he'll give all kinds of things away. All he has to do is praise Trump a little bit. And Trump will just, he'll cave. He'll give everything. He wants to meet, you know, he wants to go to North Korea. Or, you know, have Kim Jong-un come to South Korea. I don't think that's going to happen. So dictators all over the world, this is your opportunity. Anyway, Trump gave a speech, which has not yet been reported very widely, but I think it will be. He told American troops assembled in Japan today, or I guess it was yesterday there, I don't know. He's prepared to send more than the National Guard into American cities to enforce his crackdowns on crime and immigration. You know, the ones that are inside his head. Further escalating how he has talked about using the military at home and abroad. Through his nearly hour-long speech, his usual ramblings about the physical appearances of audience members and steam-powered catapults. Oh, I want to see that. Steam-powered catapults? How did that even get brought up? They were laced with dark warnings about how he might choose to deploy military forces. We have cities that are troubled. We have cities that are... We can't have cities that are troubled. And we're sending in our National Guard, and if we need more than the National Guard, we'll send more than the National Guard because we're going to have safe cities. Okay, here is what he means by that, since crime is going down pretty much across the board. He is saying any form of insurrection, any form of rebellion against his rule... And, you know, this may sound crazy, but that is what he means. Anything like that will be met with deadly force of the military. Yeah. You think cops were bad? Forget it. He's willing to send in the heavy troops, even though it's against everything this nation stands for. It doesn't matter anymore. Don't you get it? The laws don't matter. He does what he wants. He tore down the White House. Folks, do you realize how huge that is? And I am so sick of hearing the excuses. Oh, it wasn't there for very long. It was there for over 100 years. Yeah, it wasn't part of the original White House, but that doesn't mean it wasn't an historical relic. He tore it down without consulting with anyone. And we're just going to let that happen? We're just going to say, oh, well, he has the right. No, he doesn't have the right to do that. He has the right to do that if you give him the right to do that. If you fight back, he can't do nearly as much as he's doing right now. Literally destroying historic buildings in D.C. Who knows what will be next? And it goes completely against what he promised to do. He said he wasn't going to touch the building. He was going to put his ridiculous ballroom next to the White House. It wasn't going to touch the east wing of the White House. Well, not only did it touch it, last week he destroyed a wing. The whole thing is gone now. He destroyed the whole thing. And maybe he'll destroy the west wing next. Are we just going to let him do this? Look, I know it's an unpleasant conversation, but we have a mad king. We have a mad king, and we have to figure out what to do about that. The answer is not to follow lockstep behind him, because that's always what happens, and it never turns out well. And it's not going to turn out well for the people who do that, whether from one side or another. You know, his side will probably turn on you first. That's what mad kings do. So, We can keep playing the game of saying, wow, what's he going to do next, and watch our country crumble one piece at a time. Or we can start taking the next step after 7 million people show up in the streets on a single day. maybe next time we don't go home. Maybe next time we start surrounding the people who enable this clown. And we demand that we get our country back. And we stop this insanity every day. I mean, the government is shut down. We're not even talking about that anymore. That's just a sideshow. You know, there's no government anymore. Air traffic controllers aren't getting paid. They're working for free. They're very angry people controlling all of the people in the sky right now. Oh, yeah, that's fine. That's fine. Meanwhile, New York Times, once again, they come out with a story trying to both sides the whole thing. Seven voters weigh in on Trump's new ballroom. Okay, let's take a look. Let's take a look because, you know, in my conversations, and I talk to people on the left, on the right, you know, all different kinds of people. Nobody's happy about that. Nobody is happy that this idiot destroyed a good part of the White House and is going to build a ballroom that's bigger than what's left. What the hell? You don't need to do that. There are plenty of venues where you can have soirees or whatever. This is history. This is our country. And we should be defending it. Yeah, from the enemies within. That part I agree with. It's just a question of how do we define the enemies within?
Do you remember the hotel in the first administration?
Oh, yeah, the one he bought next door or something? The executive office building, was it?
Yeah, and they basically used that to have different entities come and visit.
And pay him.
Pay, yeah, exactly, to stay in his lavish hotel. He doesn't own that anymore.
He's come so far. Like, he's come so far since then.
Now it's not down the block in a property that he gets to control. Now it's actually on the property that he can do these same like sorts of things where you have people come.
Look, I know it's difficult. Anyone who comes into contact with him has the ability to put him in his place, even if it's just for a second. But just to let him know that this will not stand. You know, an underling, a co-conspirator, a world leader, anyone has that ability to just kind of shock him into the realization that he's not doing good things. You know? I guess people are just afraid to, you know, to take that step. They're afraid. I mean, look what happened to Doug Ford. Doug Ford, a guy I was never a big fan of, but I really have come to admire his integrity. This is the equivalent of the right wing in Canada. Doug Ford, the premier of Ontario, he's standing up to Donald Trump a lot more than Democrats are. Think about that. And he distributed a television ad that basically played a Ronald Reagan excerpt of a speech where he was saying what a bad idea tariffs were, how it was bad for people. And that pissed Trump off so much that he stopped talking to Canada completely. Just no more. I'm not going to talk to you anymore. And that's brilliant. That's what you have to do. Every day, every interaction has to be something like that. Drive the guy mad. I don't care. But you have to disable him from doing the harm that he's doing right now. I guarantee you, he won't be tearing down another building after an encounter like that, at least not for a day. So that's why you have to keep it ongoing, constantly.
I like that ad. I'm an American, and I thought the ad was fantastic.
It has to come from Canada to wake us up.
And I'm not a big Reagan fan either, but it's still, in the context of the situation, was really well done. And yeah, that's just it. It's sticking up for ourselves.
Okay, so let's go to these seven voters from the New York Times.
Yeah, what do they say?
Because, you know, if they don't all say this is terrible, I don't think you really get a good sampling. Because I can't find a single person who thinks what Trump is doing is good. This is from Randy Dutton, 69 years old, from Grays Harbor County, Washington. Is that familiar to you, Kyle? Is a Washington native? Grays Harbor County.
Yes, that's like Anacortes, or no.
Doesn't matter. That's Randy Dutton, a retired Navy commander.
Aberdeen.
Can I continue?
Yeah.
Randy Dutton, a retired Navy commander and a Republican, was pleased with Mr. Trump's effort to remake the East Wing. It made sense on many levels, he said, because Mr. Trump and future presidents will now have more space to have receptions. Not the point, Randy. It's not the point of having more space. It's the point of tearing down the White House. Good God. And this logic here, the new construction allows for new security measures that could defend against modern war technology, like drones. Really? So when you build a ballroom now, you're protecting yourself against drones? Wow, what do they smoke out there in Grays Harbor County, Kyle? Good stuff, right?
Yes.
I mean, I'm not even kidding about that. They do.
Sticky stuff.
This drone warfare will eventually come to the U.S. You know, this guy was in the Navy. He can't get it out of his head. Okay, let's go to Thien Doan, 36 years old, Orange, California, a Democrat, visited the White House once as a child. I think I know where this is going. George W. Bush was president at the time, and Mr. Doan remembers feeling proud to be an American as he walked through the hallowed halls, admiring paintings of past presidents and the founding of the country. But pride is not what he's feeling now as he sees images of the East Wing being demolished. He feels outraged. We're desecrating a part of history that we should have been celebrating, he said. And the ballroom doesn't seem necessary to him. He said he sees it as a vanity project. This is what I've been hearing from right and left. It's not a political issue. It's a decency issue. All right, so we have one for, one against. It really should be two against, but whatever. Brian Kozlowski, 41, of Orlando, Florida. He was not especially interested in the White House demolition and construction. What is interesting, he said, is a reaction from Trump's critics, who he called the far left. Here we go. Doesn't matter what the administration does, criticism is levied extra hard and provided more media coverage because it's President Trump. No, it's because President Trump is doing horrible things. It's got nothing to do with who he is. It has to do with what he does. Why can't these people see that? They call it Trump derangement syndrome, and I believe that is a true medical condition. However, I throw it right back on to them because they're the ones who say that Trump is Jesus, can do no wrong, you know, and everything he does, he's doing it for a reason, you know. Ever since that bullet just magically missed him, he is preordained to be the second coming. I'm not kidding. They have posters. They believe in this guy so much he can't possibly do anything wrong. So no matter what he says, they will support. And if you criticize him, you're part of the problem. So, yeah, okay. So now there's two people for this thing, one against. New York Times, how do you do this? How do you find these people? Shall I continue?
Yeah, so they say you can see him in the lid of the mayonnaise jar.
Oh. Oh, just don't even. Okay, so Adria LeBoy, 43, Poconos, Pennsylvania. All right, see what we got here. Political independent, has mixed feelings about the president's decision to start building a ballroom this year. Really? Mixed feelings? Okay. On the one hand, the multi-million-dollar construction project will create jobs. What? Yeah, okay, but, you know, all kinds of things create jobs. Just building a building somewhere, that's not the solution to anything. On the other hand, the timing seems off, given all the other urgent issues. Yeah, you think? It's a weird time to see it, she said. We have all these things happening, like crime. Him trying to control crime in certain cities. Okay, well, I think he's more the problem than the crime is, what he's trying to do in other cities. So, and then they're building a ballroom. It just doesn't make sense. Okay, you know, I guess that's against the ballroom, even though it's rather tepid. All right, let's go to Annabelle Collins, 37, of Mercedes, Texas. She voted for Harris. Said she understood why people were upset that Trump was tearing down the East Wing, considering its historical importance. But the White House does not hold sentimental value for her, and she feels indifferent about the president's efforts to change it. To me, it's just a building. Yeah, everything is just a building, just a structure. It's kind of the point. You tear down the National Mall and build an actual mall there, you know. Yeah, they're just buildings. Now they're just stores. It kind of means something. The government shutdown is a more pressing issue. Her husband is a Border Patrol agent. Oh, boy. While the president has allowed federal law enforcement officials like him to receive pay during a political stalemate, she was worried about other workers, such as air traffic controllers. Okay, you know what? I'll take this one, though. She says what he's doing symbolizes what he's doing to American democracy. She gets it, but I don't think she gets the total importance of historical buildings. Anyway, okay, let's go to Charles Vauchers, 24, of Laramie, Wyoming. He's wearing a cowboy hat. I can't say I'm... although there are a lot of cool people in Wyoming, though. I got to say, there are. Okay, when Charles was history major at the University of Wyoming and served in the Marines, heard about the demolition of the East Wing, he shrugged. Where are these shrugging people coming from? I can't find anybody who's shrugging. Just like any old building, the White House needs to be updated and revamped. Adding that the president is simply trying to maintain the White House as a building of national prestige. Really? Replacing the entire East Wing with a ballroom? That's not updating. That's not updating. It's literally replacing. It's pretty important that the White House looks nice and new, because I want our nation's capital to be the best capital in the world. It's something that a lot of people may discount nowadays, but I personally think it should be a building that people are awestruck by and can be inspired by, which they were. They were inspired by it before they tore it down. The people against the demolition are just trying to find something, anything bad about Trump. You see, this is what they always fall back on. There's two people in the seven that the New York Times found that believe that it's just because people don't like Trump. Has nothing to do with what he's doing. Because if Obama had gone in and torn down the East Wing of the White House without consulting with anybody, they'd be fine with that. Give me a break. Okay, I lost track of how many people. Clifford Eugene, 74, of Lacombe, Louisiana. How come all the states the New York Times went to, states like Texas, Louisiana, Wyoming, I mean, were there any New Yorks in there? Well, there was a California, but I don't think it was a... You know, coastal elite California. All right, whatever. As Clifford Eugene watches footage of the East Wing crumbling into a heap of debris and dust, he felt a range of emotions. Sadness, disappointment, but mostly anger. Okay, I can listen to this guy. To Mr. Eugene, the demolition was just another example of an unchecked president who regularly tramples on norms. Okay. I don't have to read the whole rest of it, but that about sums it up. All right, there's more. There's always more. This comes from the BBC. A statue of a Confederate general that was torn down and set on fire back in 2020 during the social justice protest in Washington, D.C., has been reinstalled under orders from President Trump. General Albert Pike's statue has long been a source of controversy, as have many Confederate monuments across the U.S., which were erected decades after the Civil War. Keep in mind, after the Civil War, these were put up. The National Park Service announced in August its plan to return the refurbished statue after Trump demanded, through an executive order, called Restoring Truth and Sanity to American History. Oh, give me a break. Democratic delegate Eleanor Holmes Norton, who represents the District of Columbia and has forever, and it's time for new blood, I think, after Trump signed an executive order, called to restoration, rather, offensive to members of the military who served honorably. Amen. On Monday afternoon, videos showed the area surrounding Pike's statue in Washington with a sign that read, Area Close? Does anybody proofread anymore? This is the BBC. Area Closed is what it should say. Historic preservation work in progress. The restoration aligns with federal responsibilities under historic preservation law and recent executive orders to beautify the nation's capital and restore pre-existing statues. That's what Trump, through the National Park Service, said in a statement. Yeah, whenever you read something from one of these agencies now, or departments, it's Trump's voice. Remember that. Well, the statue was torn down once. The lesson was learned. Then the lesson was unlearned. Clearly the statue has to be torn down again. And I am all for that, and whoever does that is a hero. Period. Look, if you were in Berlin and you erected a statue to the Nazi regime that lost, you know, but you wanted to honor those people for some reason, I think the Germans of today would be very upset, and that statue would not last a night. Every night that statue continues to stand is a disgrace. Now, look, there is a great opportunity to put that in a museum. Learn from it. You want to put it back on the street? Well, then you'll find out something about the street. Guaranteed. Might not be today, might not be tomorrow, might be next year. That statue is going to go one way or another. If I had the opportunity right now to push a button and blow it up, I would. Absolutely. Making sure nobody's around it, of course. All right, we're almost out of time. We have a Category 5 hurricane bearing down on Jamaica right now. And that is kind of a scary thing. It's a very scary, but the most powerful storm of the season.
Is it still very slow moving? Because that was, I think, another part of the concern, is that it was going to be intense and last a really, like, have an incredibly long duration.
Yeah, it was kind of stalled, actually. So we don't really know what's going to happen, but it is definitely bearing down on Jamaica right now. You know, it's this late in the season, it's something that I don't think people really want to see. Certainly not. We basically are going to play an outro tonight. You know, in 2008, I think, we played the song Wild Gilbert by this guy, Lovendear. And that's all about Hurricane Gilbert from, I believe, it was the 80s, 1988. This song, it's not about Hurricane Melissa because, well, they haven't written songs about that yet, but they will. This is about Hurricane Dean, which hit the area in 2007. I think it was 2007. This is a song for that, and our thoughts are with the people of Jamaica right now. We will see you next week. OTW at 2600.com.
Bye, yo.
From the aftermath of Hurricane Dean, united we stand. I love you, Jamaica. From your son, Joe. Me not be a foreign and drink Hennessy while me people are dead from white wall. No tell me about no tennis or no rugby. Me no want hear about no baseball. Since one hiding brush against me country, people can't even make phone calls. Me son Benji bust me this morning from over the Nepean Mall. There was so much commotion around him, I could hear the wind and rain fall. Then me hear a small voice in the background. Now me daughter took me a ball. Send down the money, daddy, send down the money. Hurricane Dean just hit. Send down the money, daddy, send down the money. Then he come, he will hit a little bit. Send down the money, daddy, send down the money. Hurricane Dean just hit. The house that blow up, the electric cut off. Send it down before the boys feel it. And the news them attack out Kingston. Some tourists only know about Mobay. Take a tour down at East Clarendon. St. Catherine, whole of a bay. Rocky Pines is a little fishing village. Rainfall and we're drowning at the sea. Now forget about Manchester, St. Elizabeth, Westmoreland, Hartilani. Where she say, send down the money, daddy, send down the money. Hurricane Dean just hit. Send down the money, daddy, send down the money. Then it come, even heap a little bit. Send down the money, daddy, send down the money. Hurricane Dean just hit. The house that blow up, electric cut off. Send it down before the boy Felix. So to hallo, visit me already. And I'll draw me a candle living over grass. Put your hand in your pocket if you have it and send it hurry up and send it down a yard. Or if you're born over foreign from Jamaican parents, please don't think it's too hard. It's the hurricane season. Listen to me reason, clap your hand and pray to the Lord. Where she says, send down the money, daddy, send down the money. Hurricane Dean just hit. Send down the money, daddy, send down the money. Then it come here and heap a little bit. Send down the money, daddy, send down the money. Hurricane Dean just hit. The house that blow up, electric cut off. Send it down before the boy Felix.
last day of foreign and drink Hennessy while me people are dead from white squall. No tell me about no tennis or no rugby. Me no one hear about no baseball. Since one yai didn't just get me country, people can't even make a phone call. Me son Benji bought me this morning from over the Napen Mall. There was so much commotion around him from the wind and the rainfall. Then me hear a small voice in the background, and me daughter took to see a ball.
Send on the money, daddy, send on the money. Hurricane Dean just hit. Send on the money, daddy, send on the money.
Then it come even if a little bit.
Send on the money, daddy, send on the money. Hurricane Dean just hit.
The house a blow up, electric cut off. Send it down before the boy Felix.
Send on the money, daddy, send on the money. Hurricane Dean just hit. Send on the money, daddy, send on the money.
Send it come even if a little bit.
Send on the money, daddy, send on the money. Hurricane Dean just hit.
The house that blow up, electric cut off. Send it down before the boy Felix.
Send on the money, daddy, send on the money. Hurricane Dean just hit.